Today I'm going to begin my early summer message series. It's just going to be 3 weeks, and I'm going to be focusing on the sacrament of baptism. And there will be a handout which you can download for each week. My hope is that at the end of the 3 weeks, we will have a better understanding of what baptism is all about, what it does to us, what it demands of us. In fact, if we lived any of the sacraments fully and radically, we'd be in the news every single night. We'd be in the TV shows, we'd be in the print media, because really baptism calls us to be radical in our discipleship. Now, baptism is one of seven sacraments. All the sacraments were initiated by Christ. They are ways in which we draw closer to God. In fact, each sacrament is an intimate, powerful encounter with God. Now, we're celebrating the Mass, so we're encountering God right now in a very powerful way. In baptism, we begin our journey as disciples. That's what initiation means. We become members of the body of Christ. And in baptism, we become adopted sons and daughters of God. And this is not just some nice idea, but truly we become members of the household of God. And as members of the household of God, we have rights, divine rights. And we have a lot of duties and obligations if we wish to live our baptisms well. Like most of the sacraments, baptism has special words and special stuff that's used in baptism. Obviously, for baptism, it's the words, the formula that is used, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then the water. And it doesn't have to be blessed water. In fact, any person, even if they're not a believer, can baptize in an emergency if they do it as the church tells us to do it. So very interesting. But also, and this is not particularly well known, there is also oil that is used, sacred chrism, which is olive oil and has a beautiful balsam scent to it, and we are anointed during the baptismal ceremony. And I'm going to focus on that anointing because it happens, it's beautiful, but the other part, the pouring of water, tends to get the attention. And of course, that is important because what does the pouring of water and the words of baptism do? It washes away original sin, or some people put it, it brings back or restores to us what was lost through the sin of Adam and Eve. So really we come into the world with this vacuum, which we call original sin, and through baptism, sanctifying grace is restored to us so that we can fully show the love of God in our lives. So that's very important, obviously, because that's the beginning of our lives as Christian disciples. And we also say this as well. Through baptism, we are stamped with the image of Jesus Christ. We become another Christ in the world. So we have to do what Jesus did. And that's where the anointing comes in, because it very clearly lets us know who we are through baptism, what we're supposed to be and do. So I'm going to focus on the first of that particular anointing. We're anointed on the crown of our heads with this oil, and we are anointed to be priests, prophets, and kings. Priests, prophets, and kings. I'm going to look at priests this week. Priest, we all share through baptism in the common priesthood of the people of God. We're all priests. So even before my ordination, I was a priest in terms of the common priesthood. So we are all priests. We are all priests. You know, and people say, well, you know, it's different from the ministerial priesthood. Yes, it is, but it's a real priesthood. And if we go back in time and look at cultures and ancient societies, they all had priests and priestesses. And why? Because the priest was one who was called to mediate between the people and God. You know, he was kind of in the middle there, and when things went bad, he would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. He would ask the gods for forgiveness. They would sacrifice their children sometimes as a way of honoring their gods. But these were people who were anointed to help the people survive and grow and be safe. So in ancient times, we had priests all over, all different types of gods. And these, again, were mediators between God and man. And likewise, the priest would say, well, this is what God is saying. And the people would ask questions, so forth and so on. It's the same when we get to the Hebrews, the Israelites. They, too, had priests. Before the story of the golden calf, every firstborn male of every child was considered a priest. Okay, this is before the golden idol, the golden calf story. Every firstborn male was considered a priest. As we know, most of the tribes fell away during that incident and started worshiping the golden calf, except for one tribe, and that was the tribe of Levi. So they became the priests. So Aaron and his descendants became the priest of Israel. None of the other tribes had that privilege anymore because they were not faithful. So Aaron and his sons, along with Moses, of course, were called to worship the Lord through sacrifice on behalf of the people. Slaughtering of a cow, Moses would take the blood and anoint the people as a way of forgiving their sins, so forth and so on. So the priest was very important. And when finally the temple was built, this was the place. The temple was considered the place where God resided when he was on earth. Just this one temple in Israel, in Jerusalem. And in part of the temple, there was this big, big cloth that blocked off what they called the Holy of Holies, where they had the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, some manna, things like that from their journey from Egypt. And only once a year could the high priest, there was only one high priest, once a year could that high priest go into the Holy of Holies to offer incense and prayer to the Lord. And they took this seriously. They believed this is where God dwelt. In fact, the high priest would go in with a rope tied around him that the other priests would hold onto in case he was killed by God, so they could pull his body out, because they couldn't go in to retrieve the body. That's how sacred this was. This is how important the high priest was in their worship of God. So all throughout history, all throughout the Jewish history, we have this priesthood, people who are worshiping the Lord, offering sacrifice, asking God to forgive the people, interceding on behalf of the people. That's basically what priesthood is all about. It's about prayer, it's about worship, so forth and so on. Now, we get to the New Testament, and Jesus would go to the temple, so there were priests, there was the high priest, so forth and so on. But as Christians, we would say, we believe, that Jesus Christ is the high priest, the high priest without beginning or end, and he was the perfect high priest, and he still mediated between God and man, but he did it in a perfect way. Why? Because he is both God and true man. That you couldn't have a better mediator. So we Christians, we don't have temples per se. We have churches like this, and we worship the Lord. We have priests. We have a ministerial priesthood that on behalf of the people offers sacrifice, which is Jesus himself, of course. And we partake of communion with God. You know, these would be terms and ideas that ancient nations would have understood. But we do it in the perfect way because of the perfect sacrifice, the perfect priesthood of Jesus Christ. So he is our high priest. So going back to baptism, we are anointed to be priests as Jesus was. Not high priest, but priest like Jesus, to do what he did. And all the sacraments, including baptism, are rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So if we want to know what kind of priest we're supposed to be, we have to look at what he did. He interceded for the people. He healed people. He fed people. And what did he do? He died for people. He was both the sacrifice and the high priest that offered himself to God. So he's the perfect priest. And through baptism, we become part of this company of priests who are called to offer sacrifice, to mediate between God and man, to ask God for forgiveness or for blessings, to pray for people, to pray over people so that they can understand who this God is and how they call him, how they call them to be part of this company of priests. So it's a real priesthood. I don't think we think of that. You know, this part of the baptismal ceremony, you know, it's kind of nice and we have our certificates as I'm baptized. But again, if we really took the whole ceremony and what's happening and take it into our hearts and our minds, we'd be acting like priests every day. Because we are priests. So then when we go out those doors, we don't leave our priesthood here in the church, but we say, okay, as a priest, I am set apart to mediate between God and man. My focus is holiness in my own life and bringing the holiness of God to other people. And how do I do that? Well, obviously by praying. I mean, that's the easiest way, praying with people, and not in a private way, but a public way, because the priests, even today, do their service publicly. We don't do it alone by ourselves. It's something that we do amidst a community of believers. So all of us who share in the common priesthood, we have to think about how we act as priests each and every day. What are we doing? Because we have been commissioned to be priests. We have been commissioned to do what Jesus did. Jesus himself said, "Do as I did, and you will do greater things than I have done." So here it is, the high priest of all eternity telling us, "You too are priests in my image and likeness. Therefore, go forth and do what priests do. Call down God's blessing upon people, praying with them, suffering with them." That's what compassion is all about. Many, many different ways in which we do that, but we have to keep remembering what we're doing is we're mediators. Here is God who says, okay, I've commissioned you to do this, you're working with me, and then we go to people and we be priests for them and to them. But it's up to each of us to understand what gifts we have been given by the Holy Spirit, to develop those gifts, and then to use them as priests. You know, we talk about we're a priestly people, and it's a nice idea. But every theological idea is a real thing. I mean, we're supposed to be living it, not just thinking it's a nice image, but it is a reality. And so we have a wonderful dignity that comes through baptism, a great dignity, a really radical dignity, because we've been changed through baptism. You know, we may look the same when we come out of Mass because we're changed by the celebration of the Eucharist too. We may look the same, feel the same, but because it is God who is the high priest, who welcomes us, who takes care of everything, we go out of here changed. So as a priestly people, we're called to grow in our priesthood each and every day, which began in our baptism, but to grow in it each and every day so that we can really see in our midst the results of our priesthood, to hold ourselves accountable, not to say, you know, I can't do that. Really, with the priesthood of baptism, we don't have any excuse. We can't say, you know, I can't do it. God's given us what we need to be priests. So it's up to us to maybe pray for the courage, but also to step out in faith and to be priests who really understand God as best we can, have a relationship with God, and then try to include other people in that relationship to bring the good news of salvation. Ultimately, what we're talking about is salvation, bringing everyone to know the Lord so that one day they can be with the Lord in heaven. That's what we want. That's what begins in baptism. And so just like Jesus, we have to offer ourselves as a victim, a priestly victim, so that die to ourselves so that we can be better priests serving our brothers and sisters. So if you go away with anything this week, go away with the idea that you are a priest. Okay, that may seem weird, you know, you haven't been ordained, etc. But it's a real priesthood. It's a real priesthood that comes through the high Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. We get it through this anointing, and we're supposed to develop it and to live it. And it's a gift to us that we're called to give to other people freely, to do all the priestly things that Jesus did on behalf and for and with other people. So again, as you go forth today, think about your priesthood. Have you ever thought of it? What's it like to hear that? Any ideas come immediately? Oh, well, I can try this then. Whatever it is, think about that so that we will hopefully make the news as radical Christians, radical priests, living the life that Jesus Christ lived and wants us to follow each and every day. So you are a priest. You are a priest like Jesus Christ, common priesthood of the people. We have power that comes with that. So it's up to us to recognize that priesthood and to develop it and live it, because the world needs it. The world needs us as priests to go forth and proclaim the good news, which frees people, which brings people a whole new way of seeing things, so that they too then will hopefully enter into that priesthood and themselves go forth to proclaim the gospel.